I want to make something really clear here today too. To seek first the kingdom of God. Please understand this. This is very, very important to you. To seek first the kingdom of God is not how we become Christians. Listen, listen. If you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, born again, saved by grace through faith, new creation, a citizen of the kingdom, you seek his kingdom. To seek first his kingdom proves we belong to him.
It's Shannon here from Live in the Light. You have caught us today in a message that's essential for the Christian life and one of the most important commands in all of the New Testament. Our message today is called Seek First the Kingdom, and it comes from Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34. And today we're talking about God's will.
We are, Shannon. We are. We're talking about God's will as it relates to God's kingdom, and specifically to seek first the kingdom. Shannon, I have to admit, maybe top 3 to 5 passages for me in the entire New Testament. Just love, love, love. Because again, this whole series is called Living in Light of the Kingdom. And now Jesus specifically says, seek first the kingdom. Man, this is such an important word. All of our beautiful listeners at Live in the Light. I mean, sit up a little straighter today, get that pen in hand as long as you're not driving, you know, but just be attentive and get ready, because if you understand today's message and you start to apply it, man, the blessing is guaranteed. Jesus is making promises, and we got to pick up his promises and to make sure our affection, our devotion, and our vision is set on that would actually last, which is his kingdom as opposed to the things of the earth. So I'm getting pretty excited about it because I should be. This is a very, very important topic. Jesus knows it. I pray we know it, and may our lives be changed by it.
That's right. Well, today we're hitting it hard. First things first and seeking the kingdom first. So let's go right into Matthew chapter 6 and seek first the kingdom. Here we are again with Pastor Robbie.
Let's get our Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at a very important text from verses 25 to 34. As we turn to this section of scripture, we come to one of the most important commands in the entire New Testament, and therefore the Bible as well. This is a beautiful way to conclude chapter 6, and it's an absolutely essential reality for the Christian life. What Jesus does today, he categorically commands first things first. He's like, enough with the secondary, enough with the things that don't matter. He's like, here's where you start. Here's where you start. It's so interesting to me because often in life, what we do, again, as professing believers, we say, God, what's your will for my life? God, what's your will for my life? Listen, listen, this is today. This is 100%. This is God's will for your life without a shadow of a doubt. Often we ask questions like this too. We say, Lord, what should I do? What should I do in life? Do this today. Right here in Matthew chapter 6, especially verse 33, do this today. We also ask questions like this to God. God, where should I go? And God's like, go here, right here today in verse 33. I mean, we make life sometimes so complicated and God's will so complicated. Today gets simplified down into, if you do this, you will be blessed 100% guaranteed. The whole emphasis here of seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then God says, I will take care of the rest. So let's read our passage here together and let's see what the Lord has in store for us from this brilliant text here today again. So Matthew 6, verse 25, and we'll read down to verse 34. Jesus says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you will eat or drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Underline this next part of verse 26. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Isn't that a great question? When's the last time anxiety actually helped us? When's the last time anxiety actually added to our lifespan? The answer is never. That's a good question, Jesus. Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And here's the point. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, underline this, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. That's for all of us here today. Oh, us of little faith. Notice the result of this. Verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or drink or wear? For the Gentiles, meaning the unbelievers, those who do not belong to God or Jesus Christ, they seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you, child, need them all. And it all leads to this, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice, here's the promise, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore, because of this truth, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Well said, Jesus. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So obviously this passage, if you've been tracking with us at all, this is found within the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the greatest sermon ever given. It is preached by the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus Christ. Specifically, verse 33 contains the primary subject of the sermon, which is the kingdom of God. And it involves the strongest imperative relating to the most important subject of the kingdom of God, the imperative of seek first. Okay, so arguably then, as we approach verse 33, here's what we have. We have the greatest command, one of the greatest commands regarding one of the greatest themes, all within the greatest sermon ever given, preached by the greatest person who ever lived. So if I'm listening intently right now, I'm like, maybe I should take notes today. Like, maybe this is pretty important that you have one of the greatest themes ever presented, the kingdom of God, within the greatest sermon ever given, the greatest person who ever lived, with the greatest imperative pertaining to that subject. Again, pretty important stuff. I think wisdom says you might wanna stay awake for this one. You might wanna, again, pay attention and hear what he has to say, because what follows is very, very critical. So we're keeping it simple today. We only have one main point. We'll have a few subpoints that come off of that. But our one main point is this. Number one, we must seek first the kingdom of God. We must seek first the kingdom of God. Now, the context of our passage is dealing with the anxiety of the temporal. So we learn from our text today that obviously anxiety was very real in the first century. And I'm so glad we don't struggle with that now, eh? So glad. Oh, wait, we do a lot. So anxiety was a very real issue in the first century, and anxiety over the temporal is a very real issue in the 21st century as well. Again, by way of context, let's look at a few verses here. Look at Matthew 6, verse 25. We've already read this, but look at verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Look at verse 27. And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Look at verse 28. And why are you anxious about your clothing? Look at verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Look down now at verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Some of us are getting anxious over the word anxious being said so much. But again, what do we notice about this, right? Whenever one word shows up that much in a passage of scripture, this is what the Holy Spirit is seeking to convey to our hearts and to our lives. Jesus, notice, is anticipating one of the great struggle of our lives. I need us to see that. Jesus is significantly anticipating with repetition again, over again, one of the great struggles of the human life, which is anxiety over temporal things. Three times Jesus commands, do not be anxious. Commands it, do not be anxious. That's clear. Two other times he appeals to the futility of anxiety. And now notice, again, contextually, we're hearing the power from God's word as we see the context. Now you come to verse 33. Look at verse 33. He says, but, so in contrast to those who are so anxious of temporal things, but here comes, listen, this is so key. Here comes the antidote to anxiety. Here comes the pathway to peace. Here comes the purpose and promise of blessing in life. Now, I need to make sure we pause and we pick up what the Holy Spirit is putting down. For the amount of people, all of us on some level, that struggle with anxiety over temporal issues and struggle with stress and worry in our lives, Jesus is literally saying right now, this, what I present to you, is the antidote to anxiety within your life over these things. That's a massive deal. And Jesus tells the truth. Jesus is the game changer. Jesus is the Lord of salvation and the Lord of life. So whatever comes next is hugely, hugely important for those who believe Jesus again by faith. So what does he say? Well, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is the antidote to anxiety over earthly things, and that is the promise and the pathway to peace with God and in this life. Let's break this verse down now, specifically verse 33. Let's break it down with some subpoints. First subpoint is this: seek first then means it's my number one priority. When the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God, it's speaking to our priority and his righteousness. I love when we stop sometimes to ask ourselves some really good questions. Let's just ask ourselves this: what is the number one priority of your life? Take some time. Holy Spirit, speak. I mean, people around us might be able to answer this even better than we could because they see us, they can answer honestly. But let's just take a moment right now. What is the number one priority of your life? I'm not asking what you want it to be or what the right Christian answer is, but what is it really today? What is the number one priority of our lives? And just, it's so good to be honest with ourselves as we've done this now for several weeks and we do it again today. I was thinking about priorities within our lives and I wrote down a bunch of words that start with F, because I just like to alliterate, it's just kind of what I do here, but different kind of key priorities in our lives to apply it to our lives. The first word I wrote down is, starting with F, is this: family. For a lot of people, family is the number one priority of their lives. You're like, Robbie, family's good. Yes, it is. Family's a blessing, but not more important than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ actually says in Luke's gospel, he says, anyone who does not hate father, brother, mother, sister, is not worthy to be counted my disciple. When he says that contextually in the Jewish language, when he says you do not hate your mother, he's not literally saying hate, but if you do not love less, if you do not love your family less than him and Jesus Christ and his kingdom, then we can't truly follow Christ, because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is absolutely first. He wants to bless our family. He wants to move within our family, absolutely, but he's the one who does it. That's why he's first. I wrote down this next word starting with F: finances. I mean, we've been here for 2 weeks or more. Jesus is just in Nicholas verse 24. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. But many, many people, finances is the most important priority of their lives. And because they love finances, therefore the kingdom of God gets shoved to the side. I wrote down this word: fashion. Fashion. Some of you are like, really, right? Fashion? Hey, there are people in this room right now, the appearance and the way we look, and specifically our clothing. Have you ever been to a mall recently? Oh my goodness, talk about priority. Talk about temple worship. Talk about people putting that at the top. Absolutely, it's true. For some of us in running people's society, fashion is the number one priority. The Pharisees loved how they appeared. Interesting, the Pharisees looked at Jesus and they said, teacher, we know you're not swayed by appearances. Interesting. Family, friends, fashion, I wrote down fun. Fun's not bad, but it is if it becomes the number one item in life. Pleasure, leisure, entertainment, ease, comfort. For many, many people, this is all we live for. We are living for a place of fun, make me feel good, make me laugh, let me be in a place where I can just rest, whatever it is. And the world paints that picture as everything we're living for that can never be more important than the kingdom of God. Next word I wrote down, number five, was Ferrari. You're like, yeah, I wish. It's the car starts with F. So, but again, for many of us here, or for some of us here, whether it's a Ferrari or something else, whether it's a possession, an item, something we love or long for, we seek to protect that possession more than the kingdom of God. We have more affection for that possession than the kingdom of God. We put more stress on that possession more than the kingdom of God. We just spend more money on that possession than the kingdom of God, and that's a problem. That's a problem. It's revealing the priorities within our lives. Next word I wrote down was fame. Under that, you could put Facebook. TikTok doesn't start with an F, so we'll just kind of leave it over there, whatever. But again, how many people, our world is just, the priority of my existence is to get as much followership and fame as I possibly can. I mean, it's so pervasive throughout society. People seeking fame, it's celebrities built on. It's just, if I can just build up again this platform and have fame, then that'll be the only thing that I really need. Of course, it never really works out that way. And the last word that I wrote down was physique. That's a phonetic F. And for a lot of people here, how I look, physical appearance, body image, whatever it is, again, our world obsessed with diets, obsessed with working out, obsessed with whatever. And it really, I mean, you see that and that becomes the number one priority of their lives. And some of these things aren't all bad. Some of them are, but some of these are. But when they become the most important priority, they come into idolatry. And that's when the kingdom of God and his righteousness again loses its place rightly within our lives. So notice here in verse 32, right? So Jesus says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. Now, when Jesus says Gentiles, he's comparing it to followers of Christ, to true believers in Jesus Christ. He's speaking of those who don't believe in God, don't follow Christ, don't follow the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's like, the Gentiles without Christ, they seek after such things. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Unbelievers don't believe in God, don't believe in Christ, don't believe in the kingdom. They seek after the temporal. How can you blame them? They are living for the things of the world. It is their passion. It is their pursuit. How can they know better? Gentiles are motivated by the physical. But followers of Christ are to be motivated by the spiritual. I mean, fundamentally, citizens of the kingdom follow the king. Fundamentally, citizens of the kingdom, again, desire the things of the king in his kingdom. So followers of Christ, we're not motivated by the spiritual or by the physical. We're motivated by the spiritual. Again, is it right to expect an unbeliever to act like a believer? No. That requires the Holy Spirit. They're not born again. They're not regenerated. They're not new creations. How can we expect an unbeliever? By the way, parents, this is a little side note here. But parents, be careful. You don't expect your unregenerate, unbelieving child to act like this glorious Christian follower. How can he or she do that without the Holy Spirit of God? You pray for them, you love them, you teach morality, yes. But at the end of the day, it requires the Holy Spirit to cause them to truly be born again. Jesus says the Gentiles seek after all these things. But what he's implying here, though, is that Christ followers, listen, must be different. Must be different. We're citizens of the kingdom, belonging to the king, loving the king, saved by the king, transformed by the king. We must follow the king. Therefore, we're different. We don't seek the things of the world. We don't seek the things that are treasures on earth because we have been bought with a price. We have been set apart for the kingdom of heaven. Again, I think if you look at the example he gives in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you child of God? Are you followers of Christ? Are you citizen of the kingdom? Not more value than they? See, that's powerful. That's beautiful. A friend of mine, he told me this a number of years ago. I've never forgotten it. It encouraged me so much. I give it to you today too. He says, whenever I see a flock of birds, I think of Matthew 6, verse 26. And when he sees that, and by the way, you'll see flock of birds now a lot. And it's so encouraging. I'm driving the car, sitting in my office, walking the street, whatever it might be, and you see a flock of birds, and it reminds me basically Jesus saying, are you not more valuable than they? I've got you, son. I will take care of you. I love you. I provide for the birds. They don't store up. I will take care of you as well. So Jesus is saying, believers know this. Genuine believers of Jesus Christ, they take this to heart and they live it out. When Jesus commands, but seek first here, he means what? Our supreme choice, our greatest pursuit. It's like we learn where something is, right? You see where something is and then you go after it. Speaks of intensity or zeal or determination. Think of an athlete pursuing a prize. Think of the effort and the discipline and the desire for that prize. Think of a young man pursuing his future wife. That's intense. There's a lot of zeal there, determination. Think of a farmer going after the harvest, so desperately needed, and the intensity and discipline going after that. That's what that means, seek first. Seek first, first place, most important priority within our lives. Again, listen, this is so key, right? Because what are our priorities? Now, make sure we understand this. Simply put, the priorities of our lives determine the path of our lives. This is what we have to admit to ourselves. You are here at church today. You have decided, almost all of us, you've decided to make this a priority. That's why you're here. Others are not here today because it's not a priority. Many of us this week, we woke up in the morning and we sought Jesus Christ through word and prayer because he was our priority. Some of us did not do that because he is not our priority. The way we spend our free time, if we're using our giftedness for the kingdom in Jesus Christ, some of us are doing that because he is the priority. His kingdom is the priority. Others of us are not doing that because at the end of the day, he simply is not, his kingdom is not our priority. Again, I'll say it again. Our priorities determine the path of our lives. So it's very, very important to be honest about what we prioritize and what is most important to us. I think a helpful illustration that I've heard in the past, and very helpful, given by Stephen Cole, tells a story, and this is taken from Stephen Covey actually too. It's a story of a time management expert who was speaking to a group of business students. He pulled out a large wide mouth jar and filled it with fist-sized rocks. When he couldn't put any more in, he asked, "Is this jar full?" The class responded, "Yes." And he said, "Really?" Then he pulled out a bucket of gravel and he poured it in, shaking it down through the cracks. Then he asked, "Is the jar full?" The students were onto him now. They said, "No." He said, "Good." He dumped in a bucket of sand. Once more, he asked, "Is the jar full?" "No," they all shouted. Again, he said, "Good." He poured in a pitcher of water until the jar was full to the brim. And then he asked, "What is the point of the illustration?" One student ventured, "No matter how full your schedule, if you try hard, you can always fit more in." The speaker said, "No. That is not the point. The point is this," and it's good. "The point is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all." Now that is serious wisdom we can apply to Matthew 6, 33 today. What sand and gravel is in our lives, which may not be bad, some of it might be, but some of it may not be. What is the sand and gravel in our lives that is preventing the rock of the kingdom of God to get in the first place? I'll ask again. What is the sand and gravel in our lives that is preventing the largest rock of the kingdom of God to get into our lives in the first place? See, this is likely one of the key points of wisdom that separates those that are mature in Christ, growing in Christ, fired up for Christ, affectionate for Christ, finding God's blessing in their lives for Jesus Christ, compared to those who are apathetic, lethargic, complacent, and lukewarm. It's just as simple as this. Jesus Christ and his kingdom is not a priority. And because he's not a priority, they don't receive the blessing from God. It's as simple as that. That's why seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as our greatest priority. And then we find the blessing of God begins to flood our lives. Life is not easier. Life actually often becomes harder, but it is absolutely blessed by the Lord with his presence and peace and the fruit of his spirit in our lives, because we will never, ever lose out with the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God means it's our number one priority. The second subpoint is this. Kingdom of God means it's our number one passion. So verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God now. Now, when we speak of the kingdom of God, what do we mean? Here's what Jesus means. John MacArthur is very helpful here. Okay. To seek first his kingdom is to seek the rule of God, the will of God, and his authority, the authority of God. If we go to the next slide here then, when I seek first his kingdom, right? It's not about me. It's not about my desires, not about my will, and certainly not about my authority. I submit to his rule. My ambition is God's will. and I adore and worship the Lord under his kingship, his authority, and his kingdom. When I seek first his kingdom, I say this to myself often and out loud. It's just a helpful theological reality for me, especially when life is confusing, whatever's going on. I said, God, your will is the best will, therefore I want your will. I don't know what's best for me. I think I do sometimes, I don't. God's ways are not my ways. And I say out loud to myself and to God, God, you know, you're perfect in wisdom. Your will is the best will for my life. Therefore, whatever your will is, I want. Because that's best for me. Might not be the easiest, might involve pain and hardship, might involve some different difficulties, but at the end, it's best because you never make a mistake. Those who seek God's kingdom submit to his rule, our ambition is his will, and we adore him because he is the sovereign, true, awesome, and holy God. Becomes our number one passion. I want to make something really clear here today too. To seek first the kingdom of God. Please understand this. This is very, very important to you. To seek first the kingdom of God is not how we become Christians. Listen. It's proving that we are Christians. Make sure you see the distinction. To seek first the kingdom of God, but just seek first the kingdom of God, then I'll become a Christian. No. If you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, born again, saved by grace through faith, new creation, a citizen of the kingdom, you seek his kingdom. To seek first his kingdom proves we belong to him. It is the proof of our followership. I mean, think of it this way in the context of Matthew 6 and a lot of the talk on treasures on earth and money and stuff, right? If we know we're citizens of the kingdom of God, why would we seek the world if we know it's empty in the end? Why would we store up treasures on earth if we know they won't last? If we're truly citizens of the kingdom, why would we build bigger barns to store our stuff if God will pronounce us as foolish at the end because we've done so? See, that doesn't make any sense. If we're truly followers of the kingdom of God, to put it bluntly, and we go ahead and pursue the world, that just involves spiritual idiocy. That is absolute foolishness. Jesus says, go here. We go an entirely different direction. And we're like, well, that's completely inconsistent. I believe this, but I do this. And it's like, no. Seek first the kingdom of God. And those who truly, no. Listen. There's some bad days and bad seasons. I want to make sure lots of grace. We understand that. We have moments we get distracted. This is another weekend though, where God's like, come back in, child. Come now, refocus, repent of the sin and the worldliness. Now come back in and receive the blessing of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, I mean, Matthew 6, verse 24, look at that. Look at the end. And there, you cannot serve God in money. He's so good. You cannot serve God in money. Which one is it? Now, the kingdom theme has been something that's meant a lot to me over many, many years. It's absolutely beautiful and profound. I encourage you to do a study of the kingdom of God throughout scripture and the gospels and the New Testament. Here are some verses that help pop now the theme of God's kingdom and the reality of what it means to seek first the kingdom. These are all by Jesus. Jesus says this, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.